Maybe he ate them himself.
Right. As long as it was a fruit.
No, that's one thing they don't cut off the tops. They spice them and they put everything inside. They don't cut off the tops anymore.
That's the third.
I heard the same story only with the moil.
Now the moil gets it sick.
What's your name? Yes, sure, Ben. Nice to meet you.
This is my brother, Mark.
Ah, welcome. The Sagamore gentlemen. Gentlemen, this morning I wanted to share a thought that's not my own. And we're in the middle of learning Pirkei Avot, so we all know that in Pirkei Avot it says, Kol adaver omer davar b'shem omro, mevi geula la'olam. And now that I think about it, I don't know if it says it in Pirkei Avot.
Well,
Chazal said it. And means that whoever says something in the name of the person that actually said it, namely not stealing his Torah and saying it in your name, brings redemption to the world. And I never truly understood that statement in a profound way, but obviously we have to keep the statements even if we don't understand it. So, the thought I'm sharing with you this morning comes directly from Rav Soloveitchik, and you could see it, the source I got it from is from his student Rabbi Ganak, and at the bottom of the page I referenced where exactly it said. Gentlemen, we're reading the Parsha this week of Tazria and Mitzora. Parshas that, for us at least in the year 2009, is a very strange Parsha, simply because we cannot visualize what it looked like. We don't know what Tzara'at looks like, neither on our bodies, nor in our clothes, or in our homes. And therefore, to try to understand this Parsha, or even to listen to it in Kriyas HaTorah, is not an easy thing to do. So let's take one aspect of Parsha Tazria and Mitzora and try to understand it, and what it means to us. Because after all, even though we don't have Tzara'at today, we still read the Parsha. So obviously there's a reason for that. And the reason, of course, is...
we'll get it in the future.
We'll get it in the future. And we should learn from it even today. So let's learn from it. If you look in the top of the page, you'll see that there's many, many similarities between how a Mitzora, a person that has Tzara'at, purifies himself, and how the Kohen Gadol purified the entire Jewish people on Yom Kippur. If you look on the top of the page in Maseches Nagayim, the Mishnah, it says, just like in the Psukim of this week's Parsha, you take two birds. What is the halacha of these two birds? The Mishnah says, Mitzvatan shiyu shavot, b'mar'eh uvekoma uvedavim belekichtam keechad. They have to basically look alike. These two birds can be two different birds, they have to be exactly the same. What do we have on Yom Kippur on the left side of the page in that same line? As you all know, on Yom Kippur you take two seirim. One goes
Hashem,
and one goes Azazel. These two seirim, what does it say about it in the Mishnah in Yoma, beginning of Paragraph? Mitzvatan shiyu shnehen shavin b'mar'eh uvekoma uvedamim v'lekichan ke'echad. And gentlemen, I did not copy that one from another. Two Mishnahs, same halacha. One with regard to the Mitzora, one with regard to Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur.
This is something like the rebellious son, where the mother and father have to speak with the same voice.
Yeah.
And they say it never happens.
Correct. A little similar. You're right.
This could be a way out.
They have to basically say the same thing. They don't have to exactly.
No, but they have the same. They say
right.
The same voice.
You have a point.
This could be a way out.
Right. So the birds have to... No, you need to bring these.
But you can't find
you just get two birds. No. Two birds that look alike. You can't take two different breeds of birds. Second halacha, gentlemen, that's alike. If you look in the psukim itself, right side of the page now, this week's parsha, it says that you take these two birds, and what do you do with bird number one? Pasuk A. V'shachad t'tzibor achad o'kli cheres amayim chamim. One you shecht. If the tzibor achad yikach otah v'detzeres v'zashin yitzvah, v'tavah otah v'tzibor achad v'damah tzibor shechtar amayim achayim. Fine. And what do you do with the second bird? Pasuk Zayin. V'shilach t'tzibor achaya p'nei asadeh. One you send away, one you bring as a korban. That's Mitzora. What do you do with the goat?
He doesn't live.
He doesn't live, but the same idea. One you send away, one you keep, you bring as a korban. Same idea in both places. So obviously when the Torah brings similarities, there's a reason for it. They want us to learn from it. Not only, by the way, when it comes to similarities in halachas, but even when there's similarities in language. If the Torah uses the same phrase in two places, we learn from that usually. Not just the Gzeirah Shavah, which is by Masoret, but the fact that, let's say, the Torah uses very similar phrases with regard to one episode and another, it wants you to learn one from the other. That's one of the methodologies of learning Tanakh in general. If, for example, when Gidon, the Shofet, Perek Vav of Shoftim, becomes the Shofet, he basically uses the same tactics as Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to be the Jewish leader, what did he say? I don't want it. Gidon, very similar. And if you look in both places, you'll see similar language. So obviously, the writer of Shoftim wanted you to go back to Sefer Shemot and say, learn from one from another. These are two similar cases. So obviously, when it comes to the halachos itself, the birds have to be identical. And they have, one is sent away and one is kept. They want us to learn from it. And what can we learn from it? And if you don't believe me that they're similar, look at the Ramban right under this chart. The Ramban says it explicitly in this week's Parsha. Hinera kapara zopa tzibor ha-mishtalachat. He even uses the phrase tzibor ha-mishtalachat, like tzibor ha-mishtalach of Yom Kippur. This bird that you send away and the atonement that comes, shetisah tzibor et kol abonotav and michutz la'ir al-penei ha-sadeh. All the sins of the Metzora should go away with the bird. What does it say with regard to Yom Kippur? Next week's Parsha.
The goat
takes et kol avonotam, all their sins, el eretz gzeira, away, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, away from the Jewish people. Ki inyan ha-kapara ba-se'ir ha-mishtalachat. The Ramban says explicitly it's exactly the same.
We don't know what that means in the case. It's a very...
We weren't there to see it.
Kind of the idea of taking your sins away.
You're right. We're not going to deal with that today either, but you're right. Very, very simple.
You do it every year from Kippur on the Kapara.
If you do it,
not exactly.
It defeats the tshuva.
I don't know. Kapara, by the way, is a minhag, not a halacha. And secondly, I'm not so sure. But you're right, it's the same idea. Right? What we say is the concept of this chicken should go to Shechita and I should go to Chaim Tovim V'Arukim. It's the same idea.
Absolutely.
You have to have the right intent. The Rambam says when you bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to do vidui. You can't just bring a korban, hocus pocus, you're its own. If you want another source, the Gemara says in Ksubot that the Chiperat Masoa Mo, it says in Parshat Hazinu that God's going to bring a terrible tragedy upon the Jewish people and then he's going to ultimately save them. And it says v'chiper ad mato amo. What do those words mean? Pshat. That God is going to atone, going to bring appeasement to the land and bring appeasement to the Jewish people. Right? Rashi, by the way, there uses the French word appeasement. If you want to look in Pirush Rashi, very interesting. The Gemara adds on an additional level of interpretation here, and Chazal understood v'chiper ad mato amo, if you walk in Eretz Yisrael, you gain atonement. So basically, if you go on a tiyul today, a dalet amos in Eretz Yisrael, you gain atonement. Does anyone believe that you gain atonement, hocus pocus? I just stole money, I killed someone, so all I got to do is walk for amos, finished? You have to do tshuva, obviously. Yeah. This helps. It's a mechanism. Yeah. But you have to do tshuva. The same thing with kaparos. You have to do tshuva. It's a means, but it's not the end. The end is you have to do tshuva. Just to take a chicken and put it over your head is not going to hocus pocus do tshuva.
Isn't this a question with
Tashlich as well? Absolutely.
With Yom Kippur though, this is a question. There's some that said that automatically you get it told me, you know, you can just by and some say you have to.
It's
have
a good question. How does Yom Kippur work? When B'zat Hashem, the Kol should live and be well till Yom Kippur, will deal with the question of how does Yom Kippur work, meaning Tachlis. How does the machine work? Right? You get atonement by just standing there. God's going to clean you up. All you got to do is stand there, or do you have to do tshuva in order for that to happen? Do you have to want it to happen? Do you have to do your part and God will do his part? My opinion is definitely very clear on the matter, but we'll have to deal with it when we get to Yom Kippur. But here you see a very interesting concept. Mitzora Seira Mishtaleach. Just like on Yom Kippur, this is what it gains atonement, so too with the Mitzora. So what do we learn from this? What do we learn from this to our lives? What is the... I would say the goal of the kapara process of the mitzora. This guy has tzaraat. He has this sickness called tzaraat. It's a spiritual sickness, so we can't go to Dr. Savir for it. You have to go to Dr. Cohen for it. And he has to be atoned. What is he trying to get atonement to? To be more precise, what's the goal? What's the goal?
To correct what he did, what went wrong.
Correct what he did, but what's the goal? What's the goal on Yom Kippur? The goal on Yom Kippur, gentlemen, is to get back to where we were. When we were born, we were pure. We didn't do Averos yet. We didn't speak Lashon Hara yet. We didn't read the Israeli papers yet. We didn't see any non-Sneas pictures yet. We had no Taivas yet. We were perfect. We were born, we were perfect. We were useless because we couldn't do anything but cry and poop, but we were pure. When Adam and Chava were in Gan Eden, they were pure until they sinned. What we're trying to do on Yom Kippur is to get back to where we were. Where were we? We were in a pure state, total close relationship with God, speaking to God face to face. Now let's take an example that the Torah and Chazal use many times. Our relationship with God is like a master to a servant. It's like a father to a son. And it's Avinu, it's Malkeinu, and one more?
Husband and wife.
Husband and wife. Let's take the husband and wife. A husband and wife are on talking terms. They love each other. They speak to each other. They smile at each other. Honey, sweetheart. What happens when they have a big fight?
Talk about the in-laws.
They start, yeah. For example, they talk about the in-laws, and we all know that they don't see eye to eye on it. They start growing apart. Correct? As you know, just to tell you a good joke that you can't resist. You know, Birkat HaChama comes once every 28 years. You know what Chama means in Hebrew besides son?
Yeah,
mother-in-law. Chameven Yavin. Gentlemen, let's continue. Gentlemen, when a husband and wife don't get along, they start growing apart from one another. They're not close. God forbid they're so apart, they separate. They get divorced. But if they don't get divorced and they work it out, what happens when they make up? They grow closer. What we're trying to do on Yom Kippur is to get close to God again. Each time we did an Aveira, each time we did something wrong, we grew farther and farther apart. On Yom Kippur, trying to get closer. Closer to where we were. Where were we? Exactly, with God. Eye to eye. God, you told us to do mitzvot. We're doing the mitzvot. You're going to help us. We're going to help. Everything's going to be great. Now we grew apart. We're trying to get closer. We're trying to get back to where we were. The same thing is true with the Metzorah. The Metzorah is trying to get back where he was before he got what? The Tzara'at. And therefore, it's the same exact process, both on Yom Kippur and with the Metzorah. And let's use the beautiful language of the Rambam, with this we'll conclude. Rambam says in Perek Zayin, drushes and drushes of rabbis throughout the generations on Yom Kippur were from this Rambam. Tama me'ula ma'alat ha'tshuva. Look how great tshuva is. Or to be more precise, look how outrageous tshuva is. It defeats logic. Emesh, yesterday, hayazem muvdam Hashem Elokei Yisrael. He was separated from God. It says in the pasuk, your sin separated you between you and your God. So you screamed out to God to help you, and God didn't answer your prayers. We read this on, I think it's the pasuk, but the haftorah of the Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, is even if you daven, I'm not going to listen. In general, we believe in Ribui Tefillah. If you want to ask for $1 million, let's take something more sub. You want to ask, you, God should bless you with grandchildren. Children. It means children, you're his grandchildren. You go along and you ask God.
Nothing. Nothing.
Sorry for the pun. A gentleman, God asks, you ask God for something. The Gemara says, we believe in Ribui Tefillah. That's the whole concept of, when do we daven too much?
Too much?
When is the one day of the year we daven too much?
Never.
Yom Kippur, what do we add? Ne'ilah. How does the Gemara define Ne'ilah?
Too much.
Ribui. Tefillah. You want to daven for something, you daven and daven, God should answer you. We believe in this concept of Ribui Tefillah, but here the Pasuk said, God said, listen, I am so upset with you that even if you daven and daven, I'm not going to listen. So they're totally apart. He does mitzvot and God throws it back at them. Etc. Now after he did tshuva, who mudbak bashchina, he's connected to God's holy presence. Mudbak means what? Even in modern Hebrew,
glued
to God. Shneimar v'atem hadbekim b'Hashem Elokeichem. You're glued to God, your God. So it's an enamiyat. V'chule. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva defines tshuva as coming closer to God again. Averos, farther apart. Tshuva, close again. Just like a husband and wife when they make up. And the same thing is true with the Metzorah. You got this Tzara'at, it's an indication to you from God, you're far away from me. Start thinking why. Whatever the Avera was, Chazal say Lashon Hara, you can think of other things you did wrong. The Tahara process is to bring you back to where
you were.
You were. To where you were before the Tzara'at came. And therefore in the Psukim, this week's parsha, next week's parsha, we're going to see the exact same halachos. Identical, two birds, two seiri. Identical, identical. One is shechted, used in the Beis HaMikdash. One is sent away. Same thing on Yom Kippur. One sa'ir la Hashem, one sa'ir la Azazel. And that's exactly the goal of the Tahara process of the Mitzorah. So if you ask me, what is the goal of reading Parsha Tazria Mitzorah in this day and age, in this particular time and place, the answer is, we have to get back to where we were. Each and every one of us knows where we were, where we are, and where we could be. And ultimately, our goal is to get back to where we were before certain averas brought us farther and farther from our Father in heaven. Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope we meet the goal.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing. According to Kodesh Baruch Hu's description, it's very difficult to have faith in mankind, or in general, for Yiddishkeit, to be on such a level that there will really be a future. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the Mabul said, "Vayar Hashem ki ra'a rabat Adam
v'chol yetzer lev Adam rak l'ayom." That's after the Mabul, even. Yeah.
Oh, after the Mabul, I'm sorry.
Even better. Okay. It proves your point.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling himself and telling us also that that's the nature of a man. Mankind is bad. Yes, you can do tshuva, but well, could it's welcome to make such a statement. What does it show us?
I tell you.
The question is, why did you make us this way?
That's my question.
I'll tell you. With regard to Dr. Savir's question, I can't answer because I wasn't there when God did it. I couldn't ask. Or as many, many times people ask, why does this mitzvah happen? Why that mitzvah exists? My answer is always the same. I hate to be the party pooper, but I say I wasn't on the editorial board. They didn't ask my opinion. So I don't know, but I want to answer your question. We gave a shiur on it in this particular forum, and if you want, you can pick it up on the website to hear how we interpreted the pasuk of Rak Rak Olayom and all that. And even after the Mabul, God says, even though I destroyed the world and all is left is Noah, ultimately, he says, I see that Yetzer Lev HaAdam Raminu Rav, he's dead. So what's the story here? What encouragement does he give us? And I don't want to give the whole shiur again, but I'll just tell you on one leg, what I think it means. God does not want us to be angels. If God wanted to give the Torah to angels, God had the chance, long before we came on the scene. If a Jew, who's a human being, with all the natural inclinations to do bad, still does good, that's a far bigger achievement than an angel. And that, I believe, is the pshat of that pasuk. Despite it, we still can do tshuva. Or if I can pun a phrase that I heard, I can't remember where I heard it. It's too bad. I remember this though. I heard.
And you have a double mitzvah.
Perfect. The word perfect is only a word in the dictionary.
Right.
Perfectionism is only something you can find in the dictionary. Life is not perfect, and we are not perfect. How do I know we're not perfect? We mentioned this today, but what's my proof? What yontif happens every year? Every year. Yom Kippur. Doesn't that sound strange to you? Yom Kippur every year. We're always going to sin. Is that going to be one year where we won't sin?
That's what's interesting.
The answer is exactly. Shlomo HaMelech.
We say Vohar.
Exactly. I once said here in the name of Rav Drukman, he once said that it's not such a big deal to be an angel in Yom Kippur. It's a far harder achievement to be a human being than most of Yom Kippur. And ultimately, I always say, see how the people build their sukkahs on Erev and Motzei Yom Kippur, and how they choose the lulav and etrog. Okay? I still recall, and this scares me to death, when we moved to Israel in 1988, we lived in Yerushalayim, in a religious neighborhood, and it was just amazing that Motzei Yom Kippur, 10 o'clock at night, all you heard was what? Banging, everyone's out building their sukkahs. It was such an amazing scene. A neighbor of ours is building his sukkah, and he's using nails. Now, I came from a more handy home, so I understood nails was not a good idea, because nails you have to then take out, and it's a pain in the neck. You should use screws. Screws are like Legos. You can take them apart, you put them back in every year, 1, 2, 3, chick-chock, it's all done. But this guy's nailing, and there's a big difference between screwing and nailing. When you screw, the probability of getting your finger is low. When you go ahead and bang, the probability of banging your finger is high. So this lovely Jew who just went through Yom Kippur cleaning up before God, wore a kittel all day, came home, Michael, he's building his sukkah, he hit his finger. What do you think his reaction was?
He was very happy.
Gentlemen, I did not know a good Hebrew until then. But that night I knew every curse in Hebrew from here till tomorrow.
Arabic.
I knew every curse, and I knew the name of every mother, and this man was going, I couldn't believe it. Yom Kippur, we just finished. The next day, gentlemen, next day, big treat. Not next day. It was a year later. Big treat. I'm going to the Shuk Arba meeting. I'm going to Mea Shar. I want to see the real thing. We go to Mea Shar. Back in those years, it wasn't like today with all the security precautions. It was Mamish on the street. Everyone sold on the street. There was nothing. Everyone's on the street. Buying a lulav and etrog in honor of Sukkot. The handling people did for prices. And the curses. It was just beyond me. 2 days after Yom Kippur. So it's not a big deal to be an angel on Yom Kippur. So God said, no eating, no drinking, this, that, and other things. So you're an angel. Naturally. Fine. 24 hours. Big deal. The body can take it. Try to be a human being on most of Yom Kippur. That's the challenge.
I just want to add to what you just said. I told the servant who banged his